my talk is about my research under supervision of Professor Tolan, and this means that if something is wrong, you know, he's the person to beat up. So first I would like to tell you a bit what seed compactness is and where is that coming from. As you know, compactness as it is, without some modification to the proper language, is not a categorical concept, and until we actually see the Kurtowski-Murawska theorem, which gives to compactness in the category of Hausdorff spaces and in top a categorical description. Now, the more familiar form of this theorem is with the Hausdorff condition, which even allows Y to be a normal space, in which case there is a special construction to construct another space Y, a good test space to prove that X is compact. The general case with X, with category of top, I think can be found in the Atlantis book. Now this theorem can also give an inspiration to a definition. So in this talk, all the topological groups are Hausdorff, and we can use the same idea. We will say that a topological group is C-compact if the projection from G cross H to H takes closed subobjects of the product to closed subobjects in H. Actually, that definition, I think, is coming from 1974, and in a paper by Mays, I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, but... Manis, yes. I'm just very bad at pronouncing names. So when we have a C-compact group, it actually it behaves very, very nicely with continuous homomorphisms, because it maps itself to always closed subgroups wherever we go. And that property that every homomorphic image of G is closed in the codomain is called H-completeness. An equivalent form of it is to say that all the homomorphic images of G are Rykov complete, which means complete in the uniformity, which is the sup of the left and the right uniformity. So it is the both-sided Cauchy nets, which has to converge. And as we can see here, every C-compact group is H-complete. Now, C-compactness, as I said, implies that weaker property. And the nice thing about H-completeness is, at least in case of topological spaces, even a condition similar to H-completeness is enough to ensure that our topological space will be compact. But the question whether C-compactness for topological groups implies compactness has been open for more than 15 years, and all we know are the following results. Product of C-compact groups is C-compact. It's a result due to Clementino and Tolan. And the product of any family of H-complete groups, so there's a typo there, it should be C, is H-complete here, there is a typo. It should be H-complete. So C-compactness and H-completeness has the Tikhonov property. And what was also proved that every nilpotent H-complete group is actually compact, and every Sobel C-compact group is compact. So what those results show so far is that there is a relationship between the algebraic structure and the compactness or not compactness of the resulting group under the assumption of categorical compactness. So it also proved that in the local compact case, every connected local compact C compact group is actually compact. And one more interesting result from the same paper is that I want to cover part of it, is that whenever G has a very nice algebraic and topological interaction, which means that it has a base at E which is invariant under inner automorphisms, then to say that G is C compact is the same to say that all its closed subgroups are H complete. It is definitely, as far as I know, not the case when we don't assume SIM. This property SIM some people called also balanced, and some people define it only with inclusion, which obviously implies equality. And I'm going to use this result in the results I'm going to present, so I think I will leave this slide here. One more concept I have to define is the maximal almost periodic property, which means that G is continuously, not embedded, but at least injectively, homomorphically mapped into a compact group. Equivalently, this means that the finite dimensional representations of G separate points. One other way to approach it is that whenever we take the Bohr compactification of G, then the map from G to its Bohr compactification will be injective. Now, my theorem is that if G is locally compact, C compact, and maximally almost periodic, then G is actually compact. On the one hand, it is something that one would expect from the point of view that when we have this G, which is C compact, and we have this M, M of G will be closed in K, therefore compact. So there's only, it looks intuitively that there's only something in quotes very small to show, namely that M is open, but it is not small actually. And I'm going to prove this theorem, or going to explain how it follows from the following more general theorem, which gives some condition on locally compact groups to be compact in terms of their subgroups and how their subgroups behave. Now, in fact, it is something very logical to try to attack subgroups. And the reason is that just recently I read in a paper by Dicranian that, in fact, being free compact for a group, which means some people call it totally bounded in uniform spaces, is equivalent that all the separable closed subgroups are free compact. So from that point of view, those conditions are very, very natural, although the way I found them was without knowing that theorem. And the whole idea is that once we know that our sigma compact subgroups, closed subgroups, are countably compact, it will make obvious the whole group countably compact because whenever we have a sequence, we'll be able to take a neighborhood having a compact closure and generate C sigma compact subgroup. And the whole idea behind the proof of this theorem is to reduce the problem into the metric case, in which case, obviously, once you have countable compactness, you have unit compactness, and therefore everything is compact. So I want to show first, though, the way that the way that 2 implies 3. So I'm going to leave on the theorem, and I want to explain how 2 implies 3. So the reason that we are lucky with locally compact groups is that they satisfy some kind of Banach open map theorem, namely that whenever we have a locally compact sigma compact group and a continuous homomorphism into another locally compact or complete group, then it is necessarily open. Using the map property, we already know that whenever we take a subgroup H, I think I will write it here. Okay, so we know that whenever we have a subgroup H, it goes to K, then M of H will be compact because H is H complete. And therefore, H will be compact by that open map theorem, which shows that under the conditions from 2, all the sigma compact subgroups are compact. Now, there is a result by Pestov which says that a locally compact group is SIN if and only if every open sigma compact subgroup of G is SIN. So since every open sigma compact subgroup is compact, in particular it is SIN, it's a property that every compact group has, therefore G itself is SIN. And since any sequence that we take in G generates together with a neighborhood having compact closure of the entity, generate an open sigma compact subgroup, G is countably compact. That sequence, that inference set will have a cluster point. And there is a theorem due to Grave which says that any SIN group embeds into the product of metrizable groups. In fact, the metric will be also invariant on each of those M alpha. And since G is countably compact, the projections, the canonical projections on each coordinate, the pi alpha of G will be compact in M of alpha, because M alpha is metrizable and G is countably compact. And now what we have is that all the M alpha are compact, G is H complete, so its image inside M, the product of all the M alpha, is closed, therefore compact, and since it's an embedding, G itself is compact. Now, what I still have time, so what I also want to show is how 1 implies 2, which is in a way more interesting, and what I was really surprised that the very simple tree that I used to do that doesn't show up in any standard textbook on topological groups. Do I slide? Yes. So let H be an open sigma compact subgroup, then it is obviously closed, and therefore H complete just by the assumption in one. And now each subgroup of H is also a closed subgroup of G. Therefore, all the closed subgroups of H are H complete. But we are in an SIN group. In SIN group, knowing that all the closed subgroups are H complete means that the group itself is C compact, so we can have a stronger property. Now, if C is the connected component of E in H, then it is a normal closed subgroup. And since C is locally compact, connected, and C compact being the closed subgroup of a C compact group, it is compact, it just was long theorems by the Kranian. So now we have a group having a compact connected component, and we can look at its quotient, and he's enough to show that H quotient C is compact. In fact, I want to show only map, that is all I need, but it is possible to show even more. Now the quotient of H with its connected component is totally disconnected, locally compact, SIN, and C compact. Now, it is not hard to show that in a totally disconnected, in every totally disconnected locally compact group, the compact open subgroups form a basis. But since we are in an SIN case, we can choose those subgroups to be actually normal subgroups. And that gives us an injective map into the discrete quotients of HC. And each quotient is map and H complete. And it is countable because H originally was chosen to be sigma compact. So by an open map theorem for locally compact groups, the injection into a compact group of each of the discrete quotients is actually, again, an embedding. And therefore, each discrete group is compact, which means finite. And hence, H factor C is compact because it embeds into a product of compact groups, because that map from H factor C to the product of discrete quotients is opened by an open map theorem. That is what I have to say.